It's Central Time. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, we'll hear about a time when players for the Green Bay Packers were just part of everyday life in Green Bay.
First, we have updates on two stories in northern Wisconsin.
Six counties that were hardest hit by flooding in June have received a federal disaster declaration. Parts of Bayfield County got 15 inches of rain in 3 days. The flooding caused $13 million in damage to public infrastructure across Bayfield and five other counties.
Also, two people have been found guilty of crimes following their protest at an oil pipeline construction site in Superior last summer. One of them was also sentenced to time in jail.
WPR reporter Danielle Kading has been following both of those stories and is here now to bring us up to speed. Danny, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, Rob. How you doing?
Good. Well, let's start with the flooding. Talk about the counties that were declared federal disaster areas.
Yeah, sure. Six counties in northern Wisconsin received a federal disaster declaration, and that was after flooding in June around the 15th through the 19th. There was, as you said, a lot of rain that fell across northern Wisconsin, and that caused roughly $13 million in damage to public infrastructure, like roads. And so Governor Scott Walker announced on Friday that the federal government would be declaring a disaster area for Ashland, Bayfield, Burnett, Clark, Douglas, and Iron counties. So basically, that's good news for northern Wisconsin because it means more money and more help to repair those roads and the damage.
Yeah, can you talk a little more about what the declaration will mean for those counties?
Yeah, Bayfield County Emergency Management Director Jan Victorson says they had around $3.9 million in damage. So this is what she had to say about that federal disaster declaration.
This is huge. Our towns are low population areas that figured out to be, if we were to have every person in our county contribute in order to make the repairs, it was estimated it would be over $250 per person. So in terms of the tax levy, that would have been huge for our small towns.
And Danny, that's probably not the only place with that story where a community to repair the damages, it would be more than they spend on an annual budget.
Yeah, in fact, Douglas County Emergency Management Director Keith Kessler said virtually the same thing, and here's what he had to say.
Well, in some of these towns, the loss that they're suffered on the highways exceeds their actual annual operations budget. They've got nowhere to get the money. I mean, they have to borrow the money and then figure out how to pay it back.
And this is a pretty common story in northern Wisconsin right now. If you think about it, this is the third federal disaster declaration for northern Wisconsin in the last 6 years because of flooding. So towns in the area have been looking to borrowing from banks and from they've been looking for money from the Board of Commissioners of Public Lands and wherever they can get it to try and pay for a lot of this damage.
And I imagine that people in local governments there were probably biting their fingernails for the last couple of months to see if they got this federal help.
Yeah, there was some concern initially whether or not northern Wisconsin would qualify for federal funding because there's a certain amount of damage that would have to be reached. I think it's around $8 million before they could qualify for any kind of federal assistance. So knowing that this money is coming means that the federal government will pay about 75% of the cost to repair roads or public infrastructure, and the state will chip in 12.5%, which means that towns and local governments have much less to pay than they would have if the federal government had not granted them a disaster declaration.
Danny, we talked to you shortly after the flooding had happened there, but to remind us, paint us a picture of the kind of infrastructure damage we saw in those counties.
You know, it's significant, but it's not unusual, I guess. I feel sad to say that, but the kind of damage that we're seeing has been typical of the last several floods. We're seeing road washouts that have disrupted traffic and caused long-term detours. Last year, it was U.S. Highway 63 near Grandview, where I think that was shut down around this time. That was shut down for about a month. And right now, U.S. Highway 2, there's still a detour around a washout there by North Fish Creek, which is about 20 minutes away from Ashland. But they are on track to open that back up again by the end of the month. And that's a roughly $2 million project for the state.
Is there any talk that these repairs can at least in some way be used for flood proofing to try to prevent more damage next time?
Yeah, you know, with this federal disaster declaration, it opens the possibility to repair roads beyond what was lost, meaning if a road had, say, an 18-inch culvert, well, maybe they could upsize that to 36 inches so that it could handle more water flowing through it and maybe wouldn't undermine the road. So they're looking at things like that and other ways that they could potentially reduce flood risks, like maybe doing things like wetland ponds or detention basins and spillways. So there are some things that are being considered right now or worked on right now.
Talking to Danielle Kading, WPR reporter based in Superior, looking at a couple of big stories from northern Wisconsin. Let's shift gears now to the Enbridge pipeline and a court case involving protesters there. What's the latest, Danny?
So yesterday, 24-year-old Alexander Goodcanemilk and 26-year-old Kyla Hassig appeared in Douglas County Court. They were charged with disorderly conduct and obstructing an officer, and they were also charged with trespassing because they went to the Enbridge construction site for the Line 3 replacement project, which is an aging oil pipeline that Enbridge Energy owns. They were looking to replace a 12.5-mile segment of that line. And during that work last summer, these two individuals went to that site. Alexander Goodcanemilk basically secured himself to a piece of excavation equipment. And Kyla Hassig live streamed video of them protesting on social media. And they argued, or their attorneys argued, that essentially they felt they had no other alternative but to do this, that other methods to try and stop the pipeline had failed, such as going to meetings or doing letter writing campaigns or petitions. And so they felt like they were backed into a corner and that this was the only way that they could make a point, essentially, I guess. District Attorney Mark Fruhoff, Douglas County District Attorney Mark Fruhoff, said basically that, you know, they're not bad people, but if they weren't held accountable for their crimes, he felt like he was giving license to them or anyone who thinks they have a cause worthy enough to break the law. And here's more of what he had to say about that.
The state's case was that their whole plan with this was to cause a disruption, to cause disorder, to engage in disorderly conduct, to bring awareness to their cause. And then when law enforcement told them they had to, you know, they were under arrest, they had to come down off the equipment, they disobeyed, and law enforcement had to go to some extra steps to take them into custody, and that's obstructing.
And then you also had some audio from one of the attorneys. Can you set that up for us?
Yeah, sure. Attorney John Bachman, he's a private practice attorney out of Eau Claire. He was representing Alexander Goodcanemilk. And basically, he disagreed with the district attorney's argument that, you know, finding them guilty of those crimes would, in effect, give license to people to break the law for a cause that they found worthy enough. And this is what he had to say about that.
You're not going to have a lot of people running out there tomorrow to try to do the same thing. I mean, having these trials and going through all this is very complicated, it's costly, it's expensive, it's nerve-wracking, it's tiring, and it takes a good deal of time out of people's lives. And as Ralph said, each case is judged individually. Even if they were acquitted, somebody could go out there tomorrow, do the same thing, and they could get convicted. That's not license. The justice system still works.
And he was also making the argument that they weren't acting in their own self-interest, that they were in fact doing this out of concern for the environment and for others because they believed that the pipeline and that climate change were significant issues that caused, as Kyla Hassig said it during her sentencing yesterday, an imminent danger to people.
So both found guilty. Can you talk about one of them sentenced, one still to be sentenced? Do I have that right?
Yes, yes. Kyla Hassig was sentenced by Douglas County Judge Kelly Tim yesterday evening, and he said during her sentencing that he would have been inclined to just dole out straight fines for what happened. But the fact that she did not comply with officers' requests to come off the site voluntarily, that she had to be forcibly removed, he said that put her and officers at risk, and that he wanted to send a message to her that that behavior will not be tolerated.
Briefly, as we wrap up, Danny, are we expecting to see more protests at the site?
No, because the Line 3 construction site in Superior is finished. They have finished that project in Wisconsin, and it is now in service in Wisconsin. But as we all know, that debate is still panning out in Minnesota, and so we'll see what happens with challenges to finishing that project there.
Danny, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks, Rob.
Danielle Kading is a Wisconsin Public Radio reporter in Superior. We talked with her about the ongoing flood recovery efforts in northern Wisconsin and guilty verdicts for two protesters at an Enbridge oil pipeline construction site.